leading the congregation in prayer. So if you'll bow with me. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of love and mercy at this time, thanking you, Father, for this day. Thanking you for the joy of this occasion, not only the opportunity to come together as we do every first day of the week to sing together and to pray together and to study your word together and partake of your son's memorial feast together. But Father, also on this day, because of the specialness in appointing a new leader to this congregation. Father, we thank you for men who commit themselves to the qualities that were read for us just a few moments ago from your word, from 1 Timothy chapter 3, from Titus chapter 1. We thank you, Father, that men understand the importance of equipping themselves for this task, that they apply themselves and that their families apply themselves to those qualities that are stated therein. Father, especially are we mindful this morning of Joe. We thank you, Father, that he has equipped himself. And we pray, Father, that you would be with him as he serves, that he may do so with knowledge, with wisdom, with honesty, with goodness, that he may continue and even grow in those attributes that are listed in those passages. We pray that you would bless him, that you would bless his family, that you would bless the other men who serve us in this congregation. We pray for Brother Vincent. We pray for Brother Bell. We pray for Brother Hester. Brother Christian works with them, that they all four together might be unified in their leadership, that they might understand their responsibility, that they might keep watch over this flock as you would have them to do, that they might see the dangers and they might see the possibilities that are here for this congregation, and may lead in a way that is pleasing to you. And for us as a congregation, Father, we pray that you would help us to submit ourselves, to humble ourselves before you, to understand our responsibility of submission and to submit as you would have us to do, as they lead us in the way that you would have us to lead. Father, we recognize that there are a number of other men in this congregation who have served not only in this congregation, but in other congregations in the past as elders. We thank you for them and for the leadership that they have given in the past. We pray that you'd continue to be a source of blessing for them. And Father, we pray for every young man in this audience and every young woman, that they might equip themselves, that you would help them to have the faith that they need, the commitment to you that they need, and the desire that you would have them to have to make a difference in the lives of your people. We pray that you would give them the wisdom that they need to conduct their lives in such a way that they too may someday qualify themselves to be elders, that they might pick up the standard that has been taken by these men who now serve, that the health, the welfare of this congregation might continue far into the future until that time when your son comes again. For all that we are and all that we have, for the abilities that each one of us have to be a part of this congregation and to serve in the way that we do, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever. In your son's name we pray. Amen. My task as we complete this effort this morning is to point out the importance of the relationship that is there between a congregation and its elders. It is a very unique relationship. It is a very special relationship. It is a very important relationship. It is a relationship that is essential to the health of a congregation and for that congregation to be all that God would have it to be. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the relationship of the elder with the congregation is shown to be a relationship in which the congregation entrusts the elder with the task of watching out for their souls. And so it is a relationship, I would suggest to you, that the Bible says has eternal consequences attached to it. And for that very reason, I believe that there is no greater compliment that you can pay to a Christian man than to recognize him as meeting the qualifications to be an elder in the Lord's church. When you say that you believe that he has the qualifications to be an elder, what you're saying is that he is knowledgeable in God's Word. He's not a novice. He's not someone who is unfamiliar with the responsibilities that each and every individual in a congregation has toward the Lord. He is knowledgeable in the Word of God. But even more than that, you are saying that he is wise in the ability to apply what he knows from God's Word. In fact, you are saying that on occasion it may very well be that he has a wisdom to apply God's Word that even you yourself do not have and that others in the congregation do not have. When you say a man is qualified to be an elder, you say that he is a good and honorable and righteous man. What you are saying about him is that he exemplifies what the Word of God says a Christian ought to be, and he exemplifies what you understand that you need to be. When you say a man is qualified to be an elder, you are saying that he is able to teach and that he has equipped himself to teach in such a way that he is adequately able to stand and refute error when he sees error present. When you say a man is qualified to be an elder, you are saying that he is able to lead in such a way that people are willing to follow his lead. And so you can say that there is no greater compliment that you can pay to a man than to say that you desire that he be an elder in the Lord's church. On the other hand, there is no greater responsibility that you can give him than to watch out for the welfare of your eternal soul. When you give him the oversight of your spiritual welfare, what you are saying is that he is a man who is worthy to follow, and you are saying to him, you now have the responsibility before God to be someone who is worthy of following. And when you have done that, what a monumental task he has. I've listed in my notes four things that become the task of a man when you select him to be an elder. According to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he now has a shepherd's task. He has the task to feed and care for and protect the flock. The Christian read the verse just a moment ago, but we'll read it again. He says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. A shepherd's task. Feeding and nourishing and protecting the flock. But not only have you given him a shepherd's task, you have given him a watchman's task. Just several verses down from verse 28 in Acts chapter 20 is verse 31. And in verses 29 and 30, the Apostle Paul has told the Ephesian elders that there is danger to the church. There is danger from without, there's danger from within. And even some of those men to whom he is speaking, there is the possibility of falling away and leading God's people astray. And so his charge to them in verse 31, the first two words, therefore, watch. The elder has a responsibility to keep watch over the flock as the sentry stands on the wall and watches for danger. So the elder has a responsibility to man the wall, the spiritual wall, to watch for spiritual danger. Dangers are constant. And so the elder's watch must be constant. Thirdly, you have given to him the task of a role model. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 3, the Apostle Peter, who, he says in this passage, was himself an elder, gives charge to other elders in verse 2 to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. He tells them, do that willingly. Don't do that by compulsion or because someone is forcing you to do that, but do it willingly because you recognize the value that is there. You recognize the responsibility that is there. You recognize the charge that is there, and you want to be what God would have you to be. Be as influential in the lives of others as you possibly can. Not under compulsion, he says, but willingly. And he adds, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And then he adds in verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So the elder has a role model's task. He needs to be someone that the congregation can look to for guidance, for leadership, for example in how to live their lives. And I would remind you that no shepherd has ever been successful when he gets behind the sheep and begins to push them. The shepherd is successful only as he stands in front of the congregation and leads them. It's hard to push sheep. It's easy to lead. And so he has the responsibility to stand in front of, to be the example that they follow, a role model's task. And then finally, from Hebrews 13 and verse 17, he has the leader's task. His responsibility is to rule over the flock. The passage says, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive. And I would note here that the responsibility here is not to teach as doctrine the commandments of men. Matthew 15 and verse 9 condemns that kind of an attitude that says that what I say, when I don't have the backing of Scripture behind it, is Scripture. No elder has the right to do that. But his duty instead is to reflect in his authority the doctrine of Jesus Christ, Titus 1 and verse 9. A shepherd's task, a watchman's task, a role model's task, and a leader's task. I suspect it is probably impossible to fully appreciate the magnitude of the task. And I appreciate what Brother Christian said this morning about others asking him, does he realize the magnitude of the task and his grasp of the magnitude? He probably doesn't understand it yet, but it won't be long before he fully understands the magnitude of the task that you have asked him to take. How much time and energy must be put into doing it well? It is impossible to fully appreciate that unless you have lived it or lived with someone who is living it. It's a monumental task that these four elders have. But the congregation's task is monumental as well. To commit the welfare of your souls to the elders, to honor the commitment that they have made, to listen to their instruction, to follow their lead, and to submit to their authority. And what the Hebrew writer says there in Hebrews 13 and verse 17 is, when you have done that, you have done exactly what God wants you to do. And we are reminded that Hebrews 13 and verse 17 is not written to elders, it's written to the congregation. And to the congregation, he says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? For they watch over your souls as those who will give account. The charge is to make good on the commitment that you have made to these men, to allow them to keep watch over your souls, to submit to their authority, to follow their lead. And he adds this encouragement at the end of that verse, and it's an encouragement, but it's also a warning. He says, let them, that is the elders, do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. The fact of the matter is that in living as a young man in the home of an elder, and in working with a number of congregations who have had elders, including working very closely with the elders in this congregation, I realize what a joy being an elder can be. But I also realize what a grief it can be at times. And my encouragement to each and every individual member of this congregation is to be sure that as far as you are concerned, in the living of your life, the elders find eldership a joy and not a grief. Live your life as God would have you to live your life. Live it in submission to His will, and you will find submission to these men a joy. Fail to do that, and you will find it a grief. As you give them joy, you will be blessed with joy. As you give them grief, you will experience grief. And in closing, I would encourage you to, as Joe admonish, continue to pray. Continue to pray for Brother Vincent, and Brother Bell, and Brother Hester as they continue to lead us. And continue to pray for Brother Christian as he begins this new page in his life and in the life of this congregation. May God bless our elders. May God bless us as we submit to their leadership. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, I would encourage you, before you ever think about submitting to the leadership of any men who serve as elders in a congregation, that you need to first submit to the leadership of the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, the Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5, Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep. He is the good shepherd who went to a cross and shed His blood so that you could have eternal salvation through that shed blood. He is the chief shepherd in that He leads you perfectly. He gives you perfect rules to follow. He will lead you to eternal life. If you have not yet submitted your life to the Good Shepherd, can I encourage you this morning to do that? And encourage you this morning to do what Jesus Christ has said you must do in order to have the forgiveness of your sins, in order to have the hope of eternal life. Can I encourage you this morning to place your faith and your trust in Him as the Son of God? Can I encourage you this morning to make Him the Lord of your life, to repent of the sins that have separated you from God, to commit yourself to obedience to Jesus Christ all the way to the end of your life? Can I encourage you this morning to confess His wonderful name? Can I encourage you this morning, if you've not yet done so, to be baptized? Be baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, to be raised to walk in newness of life. Can I encourage you this morning to continue, after you come out of that watery grave of baptism, a pure child of God, to continue to the best of your ability to live the life that Jesus Christ would have you to live, so that you, when you come to the end of your life, you'll receive a crown of life? If we can encourage you in any way to be what God would have you to be, to do the things that God would have you to do for the salvation of your soul, let us know how we can by coming forward right now while together we stand and sing.